this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 24. The book of Matthew chapter 24. It's on. Matthew chapter 24. And I want to read some scripture here and bring you a most unusual Christmas message this morning in Matthew 24 and way over toward the end of the chapter. Verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 44. Let's all look at it for just a few minutes this morning. And I want to read here in the scripture. Now, while you're turning in your Bibles, we appreciate all of you that have given money for the bus kids for Christmas present. We're going to try to buy 100 presents and give them away for kids on Easter Sunday morning. Why do I always say that? Yeah, you got to come every Sunday from now till Easter and you will get your present. But anyway, all the kids that are here on Christmas Eve morning is going to get a brand new PlayStation valued at over $5,000. No, you're not either. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Y'all not going to get nothing. Don't be quiet. But anyway, we are going to get them a nice gift, 200. And some of you have already said you'd give so much, and I appreciate that. Others have give already. And so if some more won't do that, we're probably going to have over 200 of them that morning. We had 177 this morning. So that's only 23 short of that. And so if you see a lot of kids running around here, that you just bear with them. Give the Lord a chance to work in their hearts. The only hope they've got, some of them. And what we buy them for Christmas might be the only Christmas present they get, some of them, for real. And so let's please, if you can help me out on that, see me as you go out the door. Somebody gave me a check for $100 a while ago. We need several more people to do that. And we'll try to get them something nice. And we'll look this morning in Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. As you think not, as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. When Jesus is coming, He's coming when people don't think He is. That's why He said He's coming as a thief in the night. And I want to preach this morning on this thought. If Jesus came before Christmas. If Jesus came before Christmas. I want to say He could come before Christmas. There's not one sign in the Bible that would have to be fulfilled before Jesus could come back. All the signs in the Bible toward the second coming are talking about the tribulation period and when He comes back at the end of the tribulation. There are no signs in the Bible for the rapture. The rapture is imminent. And when a preacher says the rapture is imminent, that means it could happen at any time. It could happen right now. Right now, while I'm preaching, every one of us could hear a trumpet sound. Wouldn't that be something? I'm telling you, that would be good news to my ear. And the Lord would say, come up hither, and you would hear your name. And the world would hear just like this big old boom, like that. Now you get that from the Bible where the Bible said when God spoke to Jesus from heaven, the people around said it thundered. They couldn't understand it. It was like a loud, big loud boom. But if you're talking to you, it'll be your name. The old timers used to sing a song. They'd sing, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. And that's true. The Lord could come. Let me say, He might come. I don't know Him. I don't know when He's coming. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but I know this. He might come before Christmas. Boy, wouldn't that solve all of our problems? You don't have a problem in your life this morning that wouldn't be solved in 15 seconds after Jesus came back. All your worries, all your bills, all your family worries and trouble would be gone right out the window if Jesus come before Christmas. You say, well, I don't want Him come for Christmas. I want to get my present. Let me tell you something. He got something a whole lot better than what you get down here. He got something better than a new hat or a dress or a diamond ring or whatever you're going to get. He's got something a whole lot better. I'm telling you, what makes me know He could come, you look at the world today. I'm telling you, every time I turn on, I watch Fox News and sometimes CNN, and every day when you turn it on, when I'm cleaning up or I'm, you know, exercising in my room or what, or getting ready to run, I see on there and it says, threats of war here, threats of war here. Iran's going to invade this one. Somebody's going to invade Iraq. Somebody's going to invade Iran, Hezbollah, Syria. They're doing this. I mean, it's wars and rumors of wars. Just like the Lord said in the Bible. Jesus gave us a bunch of signs. He said, you know how you know you're getting close? He said they're going to be talking about war, war, war. You know, about 30 years ago, one of the great leaders said, we are on the greatest era of peace the world has ever known. And buddy, it's worse now than it's ever been. They said after the year 2000, wouldn't be no more wars. Look at the world today. There's less peace than ever. Now, when the Lord comes, He'll take the Christians out of the world, as we'll see in just a minute, and then there's the tribulation period will be begin down here, as you see in the Left Behind series and reading through the Bible and seeing these videos and stuff they put out. All these are telling us that we're there. Did you know that there are certain scriptures that could not have been fulfilled 50 years ago, but can now? Did you know the Bible said 2,000 years ago that a man would come that would put a mark on people's hand or on your forehead? And people laughed at that. They said there's no way in the world that you can get everybody in the world and put a mark. It's impossible. They don't laugh about it now, do they? It is very possible. As a matter of fact, they're already doing it. They had somebody said they had an experiment in Sweden, and 6,000 people had already volunteered to take a mark. It's invisible, be a computer mark on the hand, and you don't do any business transactions without that mark on your body. And just as a trial, just as an experiment. That's why they're saying, want to put a computer chip in your dog, you know, so your dog won't get lost, and eventually the kids. And eventually, you know, and it sounds like a good idea. But we know that all that is nothing but signs that the Lord is coming. I'll tell you another one. Revelation chapter 11. In Revelation chapter 11, the Bible said that there would be two men. And these two men would be killed. And they would lay in the street of Jerusalem for 3 days. And the whole world would see them. When preachers preached that in 1600, people laughed at them. When preachers preached that in 1700, they said, impossible. The Bible's full of mistakes. It's crazy. That couldn't happen. No way. When preachers preached that in 1900, people laughed at them. When preachers preached that in 1950, people laughed at them. Nobody laughs at that now. It's very possible. We have satellites in outer space that can beam the picture all over the world at the same time. And God has the Bible so put together so that by the time history gets to where it's at, the scripture can be fulfilled. He always does that. God never, there's no use in all these scriptures being fulfilled 100 years ago, but they're fulfilled now. All these movies like The Omen that come out on 666, June the 6th of this year, you know, they made a big deal out of it. They put that movie out on 6 year, 6 month, June, 6 day. It came out all across America. And it's about a young boy. I haven't saw it, but they tell me it's about a young boy who grows up to be the Antichrist. You know what that's doing? That is preparing mentally the world to accept the Antichrist when he finally does come. I've been reading about it this week over in the book of Daniel. So the signs are here, people. I mean, there's wars. There's famines. The world's never seen a time when we have famines like we have now. It's a weird, strange, dangerous time that we're living in. The Bible said right before God destroyed the world the last time that the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Do you realize what I just said? God let, in Noah's day, He let it go and let it go and let it go and let it go. And right before He destroyed it, He said the thoughts of men's heart was evil continually. Now, is there anybody here that would disagree with the thought that we're living today? Listen, we're living in a time, buddy, when people's minds is on something dirty or evil continually. Amen? I mean, I feel sorry for these young ladies. I have to go out and put everywhere they go, somebody's making some kind of lewd or perverted remark to them. And even not on them, even the young boys. And listen, our minds are so corrupt in this generation. There's never been a time like it, except right before the days of Noah. And the people in Noah's day didn't have the internet. And the people in Noah's day didn't have HBO. And the people in Noah's day didn't have glossy, shiny magazines and pictures and billboards. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is coming soon. If Jesus came before Christmas, what would happen? Well, let me say a few things about it right quickly, and then we'll go. You say, I've never heard of Christmas like this. I ain't neither. So, we're getting ready to both hear it at the same time. First thing I want to say this morning, if Jesus came before Christmas, many people would be surprised. Boy, would that ever be a surprise. Millions of people would even have no idea what happened. You know, they said when they trying to evacuate New Orleans, when Hurricane Katrina was coming, you remember the mess they had of all them people trying to get out of there, and they had the roads blocked, and I don't know which interstate, I-10 or 120 or whichever one comes out of there. They said you couldn't, it was bumper to bumper for hours and hours and hours. And they declared an emergency. And they declared an emergency. And they said, a state of emergency has been declared. And they said, how are we going to deal with this? FEMA, Federal Emergency Management outfit, could not handle it and the government failed. What do you think's going to happen when all of a sudden one day, about a million people, there's going to be more than several million, maybe 100 million people just disappear. And there's car wrecks and plane crash. Can you imagine it coming on the news? We're getting reports in from Los Angeles. There's more car wrecks all over town. Well, there ain't going to be a whole lot out there. We're getting reports from Morganton. There'll be a few wrecks around here. Getting reports from Charlotte, North Carolina. Getting reports from Miami Beach. Getting reports from New York. Buses have collided. We don't understand this. There's been some kind of malfunction. Millions would be surprised. Boy, wouldn't it be a surprise if Jesus came before Christmas? What would happen with all these Christmas parties if Jesus came? What would happen with people who have no time for Him, no space for Him whatsoever, and He shows up? We're supposed to be celebrating His birthday anyway. A Christmas party that don't honor Him shouldn't even be taking place to start with. I heard somebody on TV, they said, oh, these Christians, they're even trying to get in Christmas now. There wouldn't be no Christmas if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, that's right, brother, I'm talking about they're like them two drunks, people. Like that. I have no idea what to buy. I heard the other day about these two drunks. And, you know, I have a lot of stories about them. And they was all sitting there and they got scared. They was both drunk one night and they got scared, afraid they was going to die. And one said, man, what if we was to die? He said, we'd be in trouble. He said, I think we need to pray. One of them did. And the other didn't say, I don't know how to pray. And he said, well, I do. He said, you don't know how to pray. He said, I can say the Lord's Prayer. He said, well, for heaven's sake, say it. We're about to die. And then said, I can say it word for word. He said, I bet you $5 you can't say no Lord's Prayer. He said, again, so they bet $5. And he started out and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He restoreth my soul, you know. And the other drunk said, well, I give him $5. Said, I never believed he could have done it. That's how ignorant people are, and some of you too, evidently, of the Bible. Of the Bible. That was 23rd Psalm, duh. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother, listen, a lot of people ain't looking for the Lord. There are a lot of people real religious at Christmas time. They ain't looking for the Lord to come back. They're looking at that Christmas bonus or that party to go to or something like that. They would be awful, awful surprised. Just as it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said they knew not till the flood came and took them away. The people in Noah's day were ignorant of what was getting ready to happen until the flood came. That's the same way it would be today. I mean, I hear people pushing and shoving. Have you seen these things on TV where people get knocked down, Christmas shopping, trampled? He's talking about somebody getting trampled out of Concord Mills, trampling a foot, you know. Get out of my way! Happy birthday, Jesus. We're in here, we're trying, I'll stomp you. I'll shoot you if you don't give me that place. And happy birthday, Jesus. I'll tell you, it's a day we're living in. I'm telling you what. If the Lord come before Christmas, people would be surprised. Here's the way it looks. I'm not going to preach on this right now, not before Christmas. He's not on their shopping list, but they sure better be on His. When He gives out blessings, they want them. When He gives out goodness, they want it. They expect a lot of food. They expect air to breathe and rain to water the crops. He's not on our list, but we sure think we ought to be on His. Isn't that right? Isn't it funny how we can leave Him out, but we sure don't want Him to leave us out? He's not mentioned in their conversations. They don't want to talk about Him, but they sure want Him to talk to the Father about their needs and intercede for them. He's not invited to their suppers, but boy, how dare He not invite Him to them to His, that supper in the sky. He's not a guest at their parties, but they sure expect to be a guest at His great dinner when He has His big get-together in the sky. Isn't that right? He's not in their home, but I tell you what, they sure want to live in His. The average home tonight, this morning, has no place for Jesus, has no room for Him at the Christmas party. Do you think the average home in America will gather for Christmas and they'll say, all right, let's all hold hands and let's thank the Lord for His goodness and thank the Lord for His grace and thank the Lord for His mercy upon us and thank the Lord. He won't even be mentioned. It's pop the Budweiser, turn on the football game. Let's see what I can get. I'm telling you, if Jesus come before Christmas, a lot of people would be surprised. Now, listen, your Christmas isn't right this morning if the Lord would tear up all your Christmas plans. And I got some. I mean, we got a plan together over at my daughter's house at Christmas Eve night. And we're planning our Christmas play. We got a Christmas play next Sunday night and the next. But I would be more than happy to cancel all of that if the Lord wanted to come and take us out. Many would be surprised. I'm going to say this morning, not only would many be surprised, the Christians would be taken out. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's why the old preacher said, I'm not looking for death, I'm looking for Him. He said, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for that upper taker. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. The Christians would be taken out. The Bible said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than the speed of light. Do you realize, morning, that's how fast the rapture could come? Do you know, I could be up here preaching like this. And I'm going to say, oh yeah, the Bible said... Wouldn't that be something? And just about maybe 8% of people in this room just vanish. And you look around, there wouldn't be nothing but an old pile of clothes. You know, and false teeth and wigs and stuff. You know, ain't no telling. One fella said his wife died, and, you know, and he got to going through her stuff, about found him enough stuff to make him nothing. But all that stuff would be left here. Amen? I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, you talk, if the Lord come right now, all of you that's really there would go. Amen? I'm telling you, we'd rise to meet the Lord in the air. Wouldn't that be something? You say, don't talk like that. That scares me. You better get ready. Jesus could come before Christmas. Jesus could come before Christmas. I'll never forget reading a story one time. I heard about this little old kid. Little old kid didn't have nothing. Real poor, barefoot, cold. You know, and went downtown. And he'd stand down there every day and look through the window at the pretty Christmas toys inside the store. And one day a rich man came by. And he looked at him and he saw that little kid. He said, son, what you doing? He said, I love those toys. He'd have, you know, a rocking chair a rocking horse. He wanted all them things. And he said, I want those presents. And the rich man came back later and bought all them presents. and took them to that young man and gave them to him. And he said, here. And that little boy, he said, you know, I can touch them. He said, you can touch them. He said, there's no glass between. He said, there's no glass between. And he thought, they're really mine. They're really yours. Now I got thinking, all these years, the Bible said that we don't see clearly as looking through a glass. Right now it's looking through a glass. We know the Lord's there. We know heaven's there. We know the saints are there. We know Jesus is on the throne. We know the gates are pearl. We know the streets are gold. But we're just looking through a glass. But one day, thank God, hallelujah. One day, amen, hallelujah. There'll be no glass between. We'll really see the gold street. We'll really see the Lord. We'll shake His hand. We'll hug necks. I'm telling you, the saints will leave the world if Jesus come this morning. Jesus come before Christmas. What if He come before Christmas? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? But I want to say thirdly this morning. I mean, you know what else would happen? If Jesus come before Christmas, all the unsaved people would be left on earth to go through the worst period of world history that the world had ever seen. Jesus talked about it in other parts of Matthew 24, and He said that there's going to be a time like never had been, nor ever would be again. It's called the tribulation, and the last type is called the great tribulation. That word tribulation comes from our word trouble, or we get our word trouble from that word tribulum. There was a little old instrument about that long called a tribulum. And they took it and they'd beat the wheat and get the grain off of wheat. It was bang, 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 getting beat, getting beat, getting tortured, getting tormented. And that word tribulum is where we get the word trouble. When you're having trouble just getting beat, getting beat, getting beat. And I'm telling you something, there's going to come a time. Listen, this world thinks peace on earth's coming. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. In the midst of that 7 years, Daniel chapter 9, he'll break that covenant, and he'll break it, and all you know what is going to break loose on this earth. You know, they're already talking about the euro dollar, which means same money you can spend because there's so much travel back and forth. Instead of having exchange currencies, well, it's just all kind of the same kind of money. That makes sense. That does make sense. I'd be all for that if I didn't believe the Bible. If I didn't believe the Bible. But in the Bible, it talks about that one world government, that one world system, that one world ruler, that one world monetary system. It's all headed that direction. The cross is being made fun of, and this old world is going to pay. Did you know God is going to do to the world what He did to Egypt back in the Old Testament? The water will turn to blood. The sun will be 7 times hotter than it is now. There'll be blisters come out on people and scabs and sores. And these sores will torment people. And people will try to die and can't die. And the sin of this world will finally be judged by God Almighty.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something this morning, people. You listen to me. God's a good God. Somebody said, I thought God's a God of love. He is. But He's also a God of wrath. And He hates sin. And the day's finally going to come when He pours out His wrath on this world. I'm telling you, the unsaved is going to be left behind. I got to thinking about that tribulation. If there wasn't no hell, I'd be glad I'm saved so I won't have to go through the tribulation. I'm telling you, it's going to be an awful time. There's going to be at least 3 more big wars in the future. There's one right after the rapture. When the red horse and the pale horse and all them guys come riding out, there'll be war at the beginning of the tribulation. And then there'll be the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation. That's 2 big ones. When there's going to be like 200 million people from the Far East. That's China. And they're getting their troops ready right now. China's the only country, they say, that can produce 200 million young men on horseback so they can't be detected by radar and satellite. And they're going to come against, and the blood will flow to those horses' bridles down the Valley of Megiddo. That's in the Bible. And the stage is set right now for that to take place.
Amen.
The unsaved will be left behind. If you're here this morning, young lady, man, mom or dad, and you're not saved. If the Lord come today, every Christian here would be taken out of this world. A few days later, or maybe weeks later, a man's going to come out on the scene. This man's going to have the most charisma of any man the world's ever seen. People will fall at his feet. The Bible said he's the devil in the flesh. Just like Jesus was God in the flesh, the Antichrist will be Satan in the flesh. And that spirit of Judas is going out of that pit and enter in this man, and he'll have a fleshly body like us. But when he speaks, he's going to retain the kingdom by flatteries, Daniel said. And when he stepped on the scene, people are going to worship him. The whole world will wonder after the beast. You say, not me, preacher. I'm listening to you preach this morning. I know better. No. God said he'd send you strong delusion. A spirit's going to come on the world that'll just let them believe a lie. You know why? Now's your chance to get saved. Now's the chance to get it. Jesus is coming. Just imagine for a minute. What if he really is coming this evening at 4 o'clock? Let's just say. I don't know that. Don't you go out here and say, I said that, because I did. I said, what if? What if the Lord was coming at 4 o'clock this evening? What would you do? If you believed that, I'd have to stop preaching right now, and everybody in this church would be up here bawling and crying. If not for yourself, for somebody else. Well, I got news for you, buddy. He's coming. It may not be at 4 o'clock. Maybe at 1. A lot sooner. Maybe at 12. Are you ready? Number 4, and I'll be through. If Jesus come before Christmas, all opportunities for service would be over. Nobody have another. We don't have another chance to witness. Can't never go on bus route again. All you bus workers, I know you get discouraged. You work all week, try to get kids here. Sometimes they don't come. When they do come, we have problems. Listen, you hang in there. Don't you let nothing nobody says or does stop you. Because when the Lord comes, it's over then. No more chance. No more chance. Not a chance to take a track to that person you work with. Not a chance to take your Bible to school, kids, and try to be a witness. Listen, if we're going to leave here, we ought to at least, when we leave, people remember us, say, well, you know what? They tried to tell me. They talked to me. I told you here a couple years ago, I preached myself under conviction and decided that I was going to go down my road and witness to everybody down my road. Because, people move and you don't always know all your neighbors. And I got under real conviction. I thought, man, I travel all over the United States and different countries preaching all the time. What about my neighbors? So I went down the road and I knocked on every door down Huppeton Heights. And I went down through there. It's where the rich people live, Nebo. And I went and knocked on every door. I didn't get all of them. But I thought, here I am, a preacher. And I travel the world preaching. I don't want my neighbors to say, he never told me. He never tried to talk to me. This is real, folks. All opportunities for service will be over. How about that guy they call the Secret Santa? They had him on there. I don't know what his name is. This dude, he's a millionaire. And he was real poor growing up or something. I don't know the whole story. But anyway, he got rich. And every year at Christmas, he goes around just giving money. He'll find out about a family that needs help. And he'll just walk up to them and hand them $1,000, $10,000. He's given away $1 million, over $1 million. And they call him the Secret Santa. And I thought, if some of his bring this on the radio, my number is 828-652-8082. And I'm pitiful. But I'm going to tell you something. That boy has given away over $1 million. Just, he'll walk up and hand it, give him $10,000 and say, buy your family, remodel your house, and all that. They call him the Secret Santa. And you know what? I got thinking about that. And I thought, we as Christians here at Christmas time, every one of us ought to just haul off and do something special for somebody else. If you can't do nothing but bake a cake, just bake you a cake, go over to somebody, take it to your mother-in-law. Or your daughter-in-law. Or somebody in your family that's mad at you. And just knock on the door and say, Merry Christmas. Take them a ham. I want to challenge everybody. You see, when the Lord comes, all our chances to do stuff like that's going to be over. Let's do something special. If you can't do it with money, just go buy and take them up. Take them. I don't know. Take them up. One of them poinsettias, mistletoe, anything. I don't know. Take them an ornament off your tree. Do something special for somebody. Be a secret Santa. I heard about this guy got saved not long ago. And they was going to baptize him right after he got saved. And he was going to put him down in the water. And he said, "Here, hold my watch. Here, hold my keys." And they said, "What about your wallet?" He said, "No, I'm leaving it in my pocket. It needs to get baptized too." I said, "Amen." I know some people got saved but their pocketbook didn't get saved. Amen. Somebody, you need to get that old wallet baptized. I'm telling you, our opportunities for service would be over. I'm closed with this little poem that you've this time of year, but I want you to listen to it carefully. With a baby lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, lifted a sash. And what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like He said. Though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him, in spite of myself. The book of life which He had in His hand was written the name of ever saved man. He spoke not a word when He searched for my name, but He said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, He gathered them to take them home to the Father above. With those who were ready, He rose without a sound, while all the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I'd waited too long, and I'd sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if I'd only known, this was the night. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is now drawing near. There's only one life, and when He comes, the last call, we'll find the Bible was right after all. Jesus come before Christmas, a lot of people would be left behind. Are you ready? You say, "Preacher, what makes you think you come today?" What makes you think you won't? There is not one scripture in the Bible that would have to be fulfilled before Jesus comes. Not one. You say, "Moon turn to blood." That's after He comes. "Battle of Armageddon." That's after He comes. I can show you. I'm just finishing up my New Testament here in a few days for about the 70th time. I can show you. I know where the Scriptures are. He could come today and you're not saved. You'd be left behind to worship the Antichrist and then wind up in the lake of fire. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Because Jesus could come before Christmas. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.